The Hoodoo by Martha Grunig. When I dropped into Bobby's room that evening for a quiet chat, I was annoyed to find James Herrick there. I had never quite approved Bobby's enthusiastic friendship for him, though I suppose the boy's pride in his intimacy with an author and a man 10 years his senior is natural enough. If my nephew had shown any sign of realizing my annoyance, had contrived to hint that he too deplored Herrick's presence on this occasion, I might have minded less, but his delight in it was only too apparent. "Oh, come in," he greeted me radiantly. "Jimmy's here spinning yarns. I hated to have you miss it." Bobby and I have a very solid esteem for one another, but Herrick is the romantic creature who has captured his imagination. I found the latter seated in the big armchair before the fire, with 3 or 4 of Bob's young friends, Dane and Carrington, and some I didn't know, grouped around him. There was something irritatingly schoolboyish and hero-worshipping in their attitude. Bobby's somewhat perfunctory introductions were soon over, and he turned his shining face back to his friend. "Go on, Jimmy," he urged. "You're impossible one. You promised." And then the slight stir made by my entrance subsided, and Herrick's soft southern voice and the occasional snapping of a log were the only sounds in the room. "It's about a man I knew, a friend of mine," Herrick said slowly. "And the reason I call it impossible, and that some of you will find hard to believe, is that all his life he seemed to suffer from a kind of hoodoo, bad luck, whatever you like to call it. It's the kind of thing one scoffs at if it's offered as an excuse for failure. But I knew him, and I knew that it was true. I knew him for 15 years. Eager, busy, striving years that were full of work and hope and dreams, and just as full of disappointment and failure and crushing humiliation. There's nothing so strange in that, perhaps. The queer thing about it was that he had all the qualities that make for success.